All right. I have the pleasure of having Billy Baldwin on the Boomer Humor Radio Show. As you all know, he's an American actor, producer, and writer known for his starring roles in such films as Flatliners, Backdraft, Sliver, Fair Game, Virus, Double Bang, as Johnny 13 and Danny Phantom, Art Heist, The Squid in the Hole, as himself in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, as Senator Patrick Darling in the TV drama Dirty Sexy Money. I can go on. I can go on. You can just go to IMDb. But let's bring him up to par. Baldwin has appeared as lead detective Brian Albert in the Lifetime original movie, The Craigslist Killer, and in 2011 as a dirty cop, former homicide detective Frank Delano on Hawaii Five-O, and his character will be hopefully appearing again in the second season in that recurring role. Billy, thank you for being on the Boomer Humor Radio Show. I appreciate your time.
Great to be here. Great to be here, man.
You and I have a connection. We're both from Long Island. I was from Baldwin, and you were from Massapequa, right?
Did you go to Baldwin High School?
Yes, I did. I went to Baldwin High
School. When did you graduate?
I graduated when Alec did, 1976.
I had a good friend there. There was a coach there, Steve Chippos. You remember Coach Chippos?
Oh, yeah! I can't tell you what the nickname
is. Steve Chippos was an old friend of mine from when I was a kid. I think he was the football coach. I know he was the wrestling coach, but I knew him wrestling, and I think he was the head football coach too for a little bit.
Where is he now? I wonder where he is now.
I don't know. I think he's retired and probably hanging out on a beach somewhere at Gilgo or Robert Moses or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. He was built like a wrestler, and he was no nonsense, man. He didn't, people used to, the nicknames behind this guy's back, but that's another story because Chippos, you do the math. But, I went to school with Body by Jake Steinfeld. Did you know that?
I didn't know he's from Baldwin. I knew he's an island boy, but I didn't know he was from Long Island. Yeah. I didn't know, I wasn't sure if he was from Baldwin or not.
Yes, and Scott Rudin. Scott Rudin went to my high school.
And we all know. Very producer, one of the top producers in Hollywood, does a lot of quality stuff.
Yeah,
love to work with him someday. Hope I get a crack at it.
If I talk to him again, I'm going to certainly bring it up. But he directed me in high school when I was acting. So Billy, people have seen you for over 25 years in the business, and this is kind of a double-edged sword. You've built up a body of work. People see you on screen and they think, "Wow, he's on screen and this is great. I've seen Billy Baldwin," and they enjoy your work and they appreciate your craft as an actor. But they really don't know what it takes to have you to gotten there. As you're getting more mature, is it a grind now? Is your body work speak for itself, or it's just like anything else? You're going for the next role, just like the next actor, or the offers come in. Pitching a series is different, but being an actor for hire is also a completely animal. So if you can answer that,
it evolves, it changes. One minute things are rolling and you're doing some movies, you might be doing studio films, you might be doing some indies, you might be doing some television, you might be acting, you might be producing. I've done all of that, and our other mutual friend Chaz Palminteri, I've put together some projects with Chaz, I've put together some projects with Tom Montana, Sidney Pollack, and it's interesting when you're 27, 28 and you have no dependents, you're not married, you have no children.
Right.
And you go out and you do a studio movie and you make a ton of money. Now, that money in that one gig can set you up for quite a while, 18 months, 2 years just on the one gig. So you don't have to worry about the next one coming. But with the ebb and flow of your career and with the collapse of this economy, I've got to do, several gigs to make what I used to make in one. And it's interesting that as the older you get in the business, the more you mature, unless you're able to sing, nobody can do what Tom Cruise did, be on top and stay there for, 20 plus years.
Right.
There's a little bit of evidence for your career. And ironically, it's gotten a little less stable and a little less secure for me because I don't just have myself to worry about. I'm married, with China Phillips for 20 years, and we have an 11, a 10, and a 6-year-old. We have 3 kids. And, every day I wake up, I got to think about them. So, I'm trying to create my own opportunities now. I'm not just sitting around as an actor for hire waiting for the phone to ring.
Yes,
I'm creating opportunities for myself as a writer, as a producer. Every time I produce something, I'm not going to jam a square peg into a round hole. If there's nothing for me to do as an actor, then I won't do it. But, there's a couple of projects I have. There's one I have, for example, coming up possibly pretty soon. It's looking good. It's moving forward, and it's moving forward aggressively. A project that I'm doing for TNT based on a novel I optioned, and it looks like that's moving forward. And we're not sure if there's the lead in it is a woman, in her 30s, late 30s, early 40s, and there's a couple of male leads in it, and you know, we're not going to force it. If for some reason the network feels like they may have a better choice, then I just wear my producer's hat. But I think they're comfortable with me choosing one of the two or three male roles. But, you know, we'll see. I may not even be available. I may be producing that, but maybe I've got a couple of other offers on the table.
See that, Chaz?
Some independent films.
Yeah, you almost, I mean, I've known Chaz for over 20 years. He was always getting, he always had to have a lot of irons in the fire, always projects going, because you don't know which is going to take and which is not, right? I mean, it's basically, you're throwing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's weird, you know, in your late 40s and you got three kids and you finish a job, and every time you finish a job, you're back on the unemployment line again. And you don't know if the next gig's coming in 2 months or if it's coming in 10 months.
Right.
And if that gig's coming in 10 months and you've got three little kids and you're 40, you know, 46, 47, 48 years old.
Yeah.
Then, you know, it's a little nerve-wracking, you know. It's not like I work at you know, like Goldman Sachs and, you know, I got my base salary for a couple million. I get on the iron horse on, you know, the LIRR, and I'm riding into the city every day.
The iron horse.
And I get the paycheck every Friday, and I get the $3-4 million bonus every Christmas, you know.
Yeah.
Here I finish a gig, I can work 2-3 weeks on a gig, and then I'm done, and I don't know when, I'm not sure when I'm working again. I mean, I've done, in the last couple of years, I've done The Squid and the Whale, and I've done, you know, I did Dirty Sexy Money, I did Sarah Marshall, I'm doing reoccurring roles on Parenthood, and Gossip Girl, Y5O.
Yeah, you did, so you're doing more TV now. Because you were really known for film.
Yeah, really what I'd like to do is have, like many other actors in Hollywood and many of the film actors, is find a nice home as a series regular on, you know, a network or cable television series. That's really the best thing for me now, because it just offers you great artistic, you know, and creative challenge and fulfillment, but it also offers you the steady gig. I mean, you get picked up for 13 or you get picked up for 22, you know what you're doing for the next year. And you can also create a huge windfall self if you're, you know, in the core of an ensemble on a hit show through all these ancillary revenue streams you can create through, you know, public speaking, public appearances and endorsements and, you know, all that kind of stuff. You're on a hit TV show, and then all of a sudden the door starts swinging open, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you get that heat going, and, you know, Friends catapults these people into a different stratosphere. But the fact that you get a executive producer and you get a piece of the action, that's where you want your annuity, right? You want that annuity for you, so you don't have to kill yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I've already got a lot of that anyway because of my wife's publishing. My wife wrote many of the hits for Wilson Phillips, and that's it's not like the U.S. Mint. It's not like a printing press. That's a nice little annuity, and it's nice to know that'll – and also her parents were the founding members of the Mamas and the Papas. So
yes,
some of the publishing for the Mamas and the Papas, you know, some of that stuff was written by China's parents, John and Michelle Phillips. And
right.
That's the kind of stuff that you want to write. You want to own the negative, and you want to do what Scott Rudin does, and then that's generating revenue, that's generating income for generations to come. You know, and you just figure out what you want to do with it. Do you want to put your kids through college? You want to put your grandchildren through college? You want to donate it all to charity? You know, it's up to you.
No, yeah, it's interesting to see how over the years you've branched out and into the producing when you were really just a young actor. I remember, you know, all those great movies that when you're in your 20s, and now you're older. Now, you did Hawaii 5-0. How exciting was that? I mean, that you're going to be a regular, semi-regular back recurring role.
Just a reoccurring role. We'll see when they're going to have me back next. I had lunch with those guys yesterday over at Paramount, and we're trying to figure out what's next for me. But it was cool. I mean, it's a very, you know, I'm skeptical when they take, I mean, you know, Hawaii 5-0 wasn't something that they should, you know, put in a time capsule and shoot off into outer space, never be touched again. It wasn't that, you know, it wasn't that amazing when it was Jack Lord in the 70s. It was good, but you wonder when they take another shot at it, you know, what kind of a job they're going to do with it. And these guys have done a really, really good job. They've got the Department of Tourism and the Department of Commerce, the Department of Defense behind the show. I mean, these guys need aircraft carriers and helicopters and destroyers from the Navy. And they, you know, they get a lot of support for that show. And they have very muscular plot lines, and it's very cutting edge, topical storylines. They're involved with terrorism, and they're involved with human trafficking. It's not like, you know, the old, like our daddy's type of homicide detective where you just go after the bad guys. It's very, you know, it's a very sort of global show.
It's a 21st century.
They don't skimp. They don't skimp on it either. I'm excited to be a part of it. One of my favorite parts of it was was working with Tom Sizemore, who's an old buddy of mine who came up through the business. Literally, we signed with agents like right around the same month, and we both started going on our first auditions together in the late 70s, you know. And it's good to see him.
How's he doing?
He's doing great.
It's
good to see him back on his feet and working, and people, you know, believing in him again and taking chances on him again, because you know he had a little rough patch there.
I didn't understand why he wanted to go on that show, but he had his reasons. He was in Celebrity Rehab, and I always wonder why.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. That's a per his pride. No, I didn't talk to him about that. But I was happy to see him on 5-0, and we did some nice stuff together. And he's a terrific actor. And it's just when you're that talented, talent rises to the top, and you're going to get another chance. And you just have to you have to be ready to take advantage of it. Obviously, what Dan did, and Sizemore is in the process of enjoying the next phase of his career.
That's great. See, Hollywood always loves a comeback story. So that's great. You have a great long marriage. I mean, 20 years L.A., that's like 120 in human years anywhere else in the country. You know that.
In show business, yeah. I met my wife. Yeah, we met in 91. We've been together ever since, and since April 91. We're 20 years into it, and we've got three little kids. We've got young kids, man. We've got a long way to go. We both got to work and make a lot of money for a long time. I got a six-year-old, man.
Yeah, how do you do that at 47? God bless you. Or 46, however.
48.
Wow.
It ain't easy, man. I mean, in the beginning of my career, it's funny, in the beginning of my career, the hard part used to be when film was running through the camera. I used to get all worked up in the research and the preparation and the backstory. And, I used to take, months getting ready for a film. And when the film was running through the camera, it was like it was the most nerve-wracking. Now I got three kids and I got a six-year-old. I got all that to worry about. Am I going to get a gig, and how much money am I going to make, and how long it's going to last me, and I got to pay the bills, and the whole economy around us is crumbling, and it's so nerve wracking that by the time I get the gig now, that's the easy part. When the film, because I've become more a seasoned actor, I'm more of a veteran actor, and through that process and all that experience, I've gotten better at it, and I'm less neurotic about it, and now the hard part isn't when the film is running through the camera. The hard part is getting the gig. It's the pursuit of the gig. Trying to find something that you want to do, and trying to find something that you feel good about doing and that you're excited about doing. And it's the hunt for that that's the hardest part. And of course, even much harder than that is raising these three little rats that I have in my house. You know.
Well, you have somebody be a burden in your old age. That's great. Which is but yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, as a young actor, did you feel that you wouldn't have done certain roles, or you're happy with the choices you've made, because now you seem that you're older, you're mature, and you're making different choices about the type of films or TV you want to do, correct?
Yeah, I mean, everybody says they'd never do, not everybody, but a lot of people say I wouldn't do a thing differently. I certainly wouldn't have chosen another field. I enjoy what I do, and and I don't just enjoy what I do because I love acting so much. That's a given. But what I also love is the freedom and flexibility that a show business career affords you. It affords you a lot of freedom and flexibility in your lifestyle, so you can pursue other interests with great, on a very high level of, I love political advocacy, and I love traveling, and I love spending time with my wife and kids. I love, doing their homework with them. I love coaching their teams. And so it's really the way life was meant to be lived. I'm working, and I have a lot of satisfaction, a lot of challenge, and a lot of fulfillment, and I make enough money, but then I get to do, I get to do a lot of other things that I enjoy. And I have a lot of gratitude. I have a lot of gratitude for that.
I can't wait to see you with you and Chaz in something. That would be exciting. He's a wonderful actor, and he's been always creating his own projects for the last 20 years.
One of my best buddies, and we worked together on one film called My King, and And then we lived together, of course, up in Westchester County for several years together. And yeah, I'd definitely like to find. We tried to develop this television series for us to do together, and it didn't work. But we'll definitely get a chance to do something together again, for sure.
I was at a Thanksgiving, and Stephen was over the house. So Stephen, I believe, was Chaz, because your brother was.
Yeah, they were actually did Usual Suspects, and they were friends, you know, before I did One Eyed King with Chaz. But
yeah.
Yeah, they aren't as close as Chaz and I are because, you know, we're neighbors living down the block from each other. You know, Chaz is a little
he's
pack rat, and he's always, like, up in that office up above his garage.
No.
And I was hanging out at his house. You know, I'd never had to announce myself. I knew the security code. I just walk right in, waltz in, open the fridge, make myself a sandwich, go up into the office and kick back, put my feet up on his desk for, you know, 5-6 hours at a time.
When did you live out up in the Westchester? Because aren't you out on the coast, or you're just?
I live in the Santa Barbara area now. Yeah, I lived from 2005 to like 2008. I lived for like 4 years up there in.
Okay, then I missed you.
Westchester, yeah.
Because I moved down in 2005. I was in New York from 2001 to 2005, and that's when I was with Chaz. I was hanging.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, you have Hawaii 5-0. I'm going to end the call because I know you're busy. What can people see you in something coming up very quickly, or you have like some films in Europe you're going to be shooting, something like that?
Yeah, I'm doing. I got a project that I'm trying to put together that's coming together pretty quickly with TNT, but it's not official yet. And I got another project that I'm doing with Sony that I'm producing with my friend Tom Fontana, and then I'm going off to work on a little called The Stranger Within, and we're shooting in Spain and Copenhagen. I'm going to be December and January working on a picture called The Stranger Within, so I'm excited about that too.
Can folks find you at williambaldwin.net or billybaldwin.net?
williambaldwin.net.
williambaldwin.net, so you can always check out, see clips, see him on YouTube. Most of all, go out to the movies. Billy, thank you so much. You're a gentleman, a scholar, a great actor, and I hope you won't be a stranger to the show when you have some other projects coming out. I'd love to have you back on again.
Beautiful. Love to.